podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
If you want to come with me, you can come with me to Genesis. We'll go there, chapter 1. We'll start here. It's as good a place as any to start in the Bible, I feel. That was a joke. This is bad. Genesis 1, we'll start with 2. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Full stop. Isn't that some beautiful ancient Hebrew scientific historical narrative? No. It's poetry. It's poetic, and there's a lot of meaning loaded into these words. And some of the imagery that you see here, you see that there's this deep, dark waters, and that's very symbolic of chaos. Very symbolic of, it talks about there being a void. What's a void? It's like there's this space. It's a void of goodness. It's chaotic. So you can just think about that for a while. We'll move on. Has anyone ever functioned out of their insecurities before? Put your hand up. Has anyone ever acted out of their insecurities? Some of you, I can see that. And all you people, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Feel like Master Luke now. And all you people that didn't put your hand up, you just operated out of your own insecurities. So I can see that we're all getting along here just fine and dandy. I have this friend. This is something different. I have this friend who is an amazing songwriter. He's really, really good at writing songs, and he even wrote one for our Three Doors. It was pretty fun, pretty groovy. Whenever he writes a piece or writes a song, I can always see a part of his personality in the song. Every time. He's a funny guy, he's a joyous guy, but every time he writes something true, something honest to him, I can see his personality in that song. And have you ever been telling something that was totally true and amazing to you, and you're telling it to a person? It was like this amazing thing that you got to experience, something so true, something so amazing to you, and you're sharing it to someone, and you can tell they're looking at you going, "I'm not buying it. That's not true. That didn't happen." Has anyone had that experience before? Thank you for the hands up the back. Yeah. So let us ponder on these three thoughts as we move forward to Matthew chapter 6. It starts off with some pretty interesting, I guess, Jesus going, "Guys, wow." And he goes through a prayer, he goes through giving to the needy, goes through fasting, and it's kind of like you can imagine these people, like a guy walking down the street and sees a poor man. It's like, "Oh, what do we have here? Someone poor and needy that must need a really good bloke, a really good, generous guy to give him some money, because he couldn't do it without me because I'm so good and affluent, but I'm going to give you something because you need it." Yeah? Can you see that? And Jesus is like, "What are you? Don't be a jerk." Guys, what? And going through fasting, like, you can imagine everyone sitting around having a meal, and there's that guy just sitting in the corner going, oh man, I'd love to eat that. And people are like looking at him going, just eat it, dude. And he's like, oh, I'd love to eat that. Oh, come, have some. He goes, oh no, I can't. I'm fasting. Just doing this really good stuff. Can't eat right now. And Jesus is like, really? What's the deal with that? And goes through a range of different ways in which people operate out of insecurities. What is it that has brought out this need for these people and for Jesus to address it? When people feel that they need to do things and do good spiritual or good godly, these good acts, why do people feel the need to do them and to be seen and to this need of affirmation, this need of to be seen as good? Where does that come from? And when you look at it, these questions start to rise up in me as I'm reading that, and I'm seeing, okay, these guys are insecure. They're operating out of their insecurities, but it's not that they're insecure or uncertain about the fact that there's a God. They seem to subscribe to the idea that there is a God. What they look and appear to be insecure and a little bit on edge about is the nature of this God, and really about the nature how the whole thing works. They look quite concerned, actually. What's this God like? Is he good? Is his goodness for me? Is he good enough to be good to that guy as well as me? And that's, now you're starting to raise questions. How is the universe wired? Has God, and has he made this place, is it good enough for everyone to succeed and to flourish? Or is this God, is he in lack in some way? Am I in lack some way? Am I lacking something? Is there enough? Is there enough? Does the universe have enough, or is it in lack? And obviously, throughout the scriptures, you see throughout history, you see this idea and these insecurities and these questions about how God is and how the universe is wired wreaked havoc on a lot of people's minds. And people did a lot of weird things to try and earn this goodness, to feel like they were good enough, to feel that the gods were going to be on their side. So I'm going to give some grain. I'm going to kill a pigeon. Great. I wish there was still pigeon sacrifice, but there's not. I'm still a little bit freaking. I got to kill this. I got to kill that. I got to kill this. I got to kill that. A cow. And then in some crazy cultures filled with insecurity, they're killing things that I'm not going to talk about right now. So these thoughts about the divine and about how the universe is wired, it's not uncommon. And so Jesus is addressing some insecurities here. He's doing it in a funny way. He's pointing out the ridiculous. But really, we can all sort of relate to these ideas. And so after pressing those buttons, he does what only a good rabbi, a good teacher would do. He throws something out that doesn't really make sense. But when you unpack it, you go, oh, whoa, hey, it's up there. Okay, so let's have a look at what he says after addressing this. Is God's love and goodness generously aimed towards me? How do I get it if it's not? How does Jesus confront this? Okay. Matthew 6:22-23. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, does anyone have a phone with the YouVersion app on it? Is anyone tracking with me on this passage? No, because you're really bad congregational members. But, or you use hard copies, which is heaps more holy these days, apparently. If you look up in that YouVersion app, or even if you look up in your Bible, if you have a good one, you'll see healthy and unhealthy, and it's talking about the eyes. And can you tell me, can anyone tell me what the healthy is directly referencing? Generosity. Generosity. And can anyone tell me what the unhealthy is really directly related to? Stingy. So, let's have a look at it again. The eyes, the lamp of the body. If your eyes see through the lens of generosity, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes see through the lens of everything is in lack, everything is stingy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Jesus is saying, how do you see the world, guys? I can see that you've got some insecurities here about how the whole thing works. I can see that you've got some insecurities and some uncertainty about this God that you are aware of, but you're not quite sure of his nature. Jesus says, I want you to see the whole thing as generous. God is generous. The universe has been made in a generous way where it is not in lack, that there is enough here for everything to thrive, for everything to flourish. Everything you need is here, and I am the God of generosity. Pretty interesting stuff. But he's saying, if you don't see God like this, if you don't see the earth working like this, you are gonna struggle. You're gonna struggle. It's not gonna be easy. And so Jesus is saying, hey, see God as the generous one, and he's made something, much like my friend makes the song, and I can see his personality in the song. You look at nature and you're like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to see God like this, I'm supposed to see nature like this, and I can see that the creation, the order of things that he's made is actually a reflection of the goodness and generosity that flows from this God. But you know when you're at the party and you can tell someone this amazing story that is true and means so much to you, and you can see it in their eyes. I'm not buying it. I don't believe you. I don't know if I can trust this. You can see literally after Jesus talks about the eye full of light, the body, it's like he's almost like, you ain't buying this, are you? You're not really buying this. And so he goes, all right, fine. Okay, let me break it down for you, homie. He pretty much says that if you look it up in the original text. So if we move to Matthew 6, 25, 34, I'm going to read it out. He's like, let me break it down for you, homie. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Think about that. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just have a bit of a pause, little bit of a marinate on that one. Jesus here is insisting that you don't need to be insecure. He's insisting that you don't need to be uncertain, because this is how God is. This is how God is. He loves you. He cares for you. He's generous constantly. The whole thing is not in lack. It's been set up for you to thrive and flourish in. And so it's interesting, and it's powerful, and it's thought-provoking. Eye full of light. See the whole thing differently. If you struggle with this, please do your best. God's in the redemption game. I'm not saying everyone's going to have this nailed. He's going to walk us through. But if you do see the world as in lack, cold, harsh, a heavy place, Jesus is insisting that you don't have to see it that way. Yeah. Don't have to see it that way. And he knows that how you see things is going to shape what's going on in here. It's going to shape what's going on in here. The whole thing is light. It's generous. It's good. You are loved. God's love and goodness has been yours the whole time. The whole time. The generosity of the divine is aimed towards you because that's how the whole thing works. It's who God is. So now, if we do go to the verse, at the last verse of that, what I just read out, we do see something. It's like, oh, this all sounds so great and hippie and fun and free. And I'm like, whoa, no, God, no worries here. But he does sort of say, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for it's got a fair amount of worries for itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own. And just because Jesus is wanting, needing, insisting, encouraging you to see the world in a different way, in a light way, it doesn't mean it's free of trouble. However, what he is insisting is that we rest and approach these troubles in a state of rest, knowing that the universe is not in lack, that I am not in lack, that my God is not in lack, and that the whole thing is generous, working together for the goodness of God's purposes and plans. It's really challenging to change the way you see. And I just want to say, if you are in a tough time where it's not so much feeling like that, God is for you. Jesus is really trying to make this point very clear that God is for you. And despite whatever your situation is, your story isn't over. It's not over. And the last words over your life are good. They're victory. They're you're loved. and they're really full of life. So yeah, it's an interesting walk through chapter 6. Now, I know some of you Bible guys are thinking, oh, that guy, he just skipped over the staunch rebuke in there. He skipped over that staunch rebuke about forgiveness. Oh, he's one of those grace guys. He's one of those heretics. Yeah, of course I am. But I left it out on purpose because I'm an antagonist. I wanted to talk about it now. I haven't forgotten it. That guy. I think it's a good reminder. This strong word to forgive in chapter 6. What's that about? What's that about? It's about this. This whole generous gift, this whole amazing life. Me and my goodness is for everyone. It's for everyone. And God, the ideas of God and forgiveness, if you didn't earn it, why should they have to? The whole thing's a big, generous gift, guys. God's goodness and love is rushing towards everyone. It's a big, generous gift. Got to forgive. It's actually the flow of God. Forgiveness is the flow of God. You don't want to forgive someone. You know what that's like? Resisting the flow of the divine. Oh, I actually think that's scary. Yeah. Oh, just dropping bombs. So let me wrap it up because we got some other cool stuff and I've done my best to stick to time and I've nailed it. We got some other things that we're going to do, but obviously the encouragement here today is to see with healthy eyes through the filter of generosity. May I remind you that God is in the redemption industry. I mean, he created humanity, so he kind of has to be in the redemption industry. But I want to empathize if your eye is seeing with a bit of darkness and there is unhealth to the way that you see the world. I'm not saying, oh yeah, just flick the switch and you'll be sweet. I understand that it can be hard to shift and to transition, but that's what Jesus is insisting for you. But I know that it's not sometimes that easy, and I just want to empathize with you guys. It's tough, and when you do that, what happens is you have a tendency. Yeah, it talks about being filled with darkness, yeah, when you don't see God in the way I've literally just talked about. It's easy as a Christian, now I'm talking to the Christians, it's easy for you to start to get a darkness thing happening. And you start to see that there's a void of good. And then when you start to get into that place, all of a sudden everything looks a little bit chaotic. Does anyone remember Genesis 1, 2, darkness, void of goodness, chaotic. The encouragement for you, if you're in that place, is that the Spirit of God was hovering right there. You're not doing it alone. That place is where we first see where the Spirit's hanging out. And what comes out of that place is actually a place of potential. Because what comes out of that is order, goodness, light, and life in abundance. So much so that it's geared that everything can flourish. Everything can move forward into a better day.
That's my encouragement to you guys. If anyone is struggling, be encouraged that the Spirit of God is brooding over your chaos, ready. Ready to burst you into a brand new creation. You got this. You're loved. He is good. He is looking at you. And you've been loved the whole time. So let's stand up, if we can. And I want to pray. Pray for you guys. And then we're going to have some more fun. Father God, I thank you that you are good, and that your goodness, your generosity, your love and kindness and peace are ours. They've always been ours. We didn't have to jump through hoops. We didn't have to appear to be good. We don't have to be insecure. We don't have to be uncertain, because Jesus insists that this is how the whole thing works. And so my prayer today is that you would have a healthy eye. And if you don't have a healthy eye, I pray that you will be led in a transition to see the whole thing how it is. It's for you. It's not against you. You are loved. You've been loved the whole time. This God is a good God. He's not like those other ones that were telling other things, other people, bad stories that I was alluding to. This God is good. You are not in lack. He is not in lack. He loves you. You've always been loved. And he's ready to do something good in you today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.